pencils down, everybody. Behave yourselves because it's time to listen to this great podcast. My name is Cyril, and I can't seem to find a bra in my size.
I'm Jenny, and I'm already speechless. Welcome to our show where we talk about absolutely nothing. So to start us off today, I had this excellent experience when I went to the cafeteria, actually yesterday. So yesterday was October 1st, which is the beginning of what everyone in Pittsburgh knows as Bucktober.
Bucktober.
Bucktober, which is a baseball thing. The team for Pittsburgh is the, what are the Pirates?
The Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates, yes. They're still called the Pirates. Yeah, it's only been 120 years.
Yeah. They're called the Pirates. And it is actually a really big thing in Pittsburgh. And it really is a fever that catches truly everyone. Including the Valley girls. So we were in the cafeteria, and this one girl said to another girl, she was so excited about Bucktober, and like her friend was wearing just the cutest outfit ever.
Help me.
It was just so amazing, and like she's going to the game with her boyfriend, and she was like, oh my god, I'm so jelly that you're going.
This is really awful. Just, I mean, I know you can't see this right now, but I am literally gagging myself with a spoon just hearing this.
It's just so amazing. Like, how can you not love October and, like, pumpkin spice and, like, everything that comes in October?
Yeah, exactly. Well, one thing that's going to come to October if this keeps up is probably me punching myself in the face if that keeps up all the time.
Like, to be honest, our one friend had to hold me back because I was going to punch one of them in the face. Like, it was threatened to be escorted out of the cafeteria because if I had to hear her talk about her boyfriend and, oh my god, how she was so excited. Like, I was going to kill her.
Mm-hmm. Truly unacceptable that that happens. And, I mean, I don't really know totally how I feel about this because I didn't even know we had Valley Girls in Pittsburgh.
Right? Like, there is no valley. So how do we have Valley Girls? We have hills. We have North Hills, South Hills. I don't know of any valleys.
Yes, Jenny is literally turning into a Valley Girl right now before my eyes.
Well, this is dangerous. Somebody slap me. What's going on? We need this to stop immediately.
Right, yes. No. But, you know, she does a really good Valley Girl voice, which I'd never heard before, so this is my first time hearing it, and I'm taken aback. Like, I'm not sure if this is a good thing for me to have heard or not.
Well, I don't consider it a good thing. Like, this is not something I'm going to start adding to my resume. You know, I can do, you know, excellent programming skills, mm-hmm. you know, efficiency, and Valley Girl voices.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't think that is a trademark of intelligence or any quality that I would ever want, so.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, I don't think that's going to really get you, you know, you know, recognized very highly in Pittsburgh, but I'm sure there are some places where that's really going to be looked at as a good thing.
Nowhere where I will ever be.
Right, yeah, that's probably a good thought there. But I think that would go over really well in some place like China because they would think that you're probably some kind of an idol and, you know, they might just say that you're amazing. And
well, that would be kind of creepy, actually. I don't know if I'd be comfortable with that. Actually, so when I did go to China, we were on the Great Wall of China. And they just got really excited to see any Americans at all. So mm-hmm. they actually did want to take pictures with us. And I went with my all-girl high school. So probably why I can do my Valley Girl voice so well. That just occurred to me. But so we were on the Great Wall of China. And just we were stuck there for a while because Chinese people continuously came up to us. Being like, can we photo? And we're like, okay, like what is this? And interestingly enough, when my brother went to China, he had the same experience, except they were so impressed about how tall his professor was that they were like, oh my god, you're so tall. And they like kept trying to take pictures with him. So I'm already an idol. I don't need the voice to go with it.
Wow, I guess not. Okay. I actually am, you know, a little bit of an idol myself, but I'm big of all places. I'm big in Lithuania.
Lithuania?
Yes.
You say that because nobody can verify that.
Oh, that might be true, yes. But no, actually, you know, I have a friend who is from Lithuania, and I'm going to point her to this podcast so she can listen to it, and she'll totally back me up on this. But
so population of one person does not count as like
no,
a following?
No. I think what she actually did, unless she lied to me, which women always seem to do, but right. When she told me that when she went back home to visit her cousins in the capital of Vilnius, Lithuania, that she and, you know, she brought a picture of me, and she and her cousins actually painted a very, it's a small, you know, modest mural of me on a wall.
I am now going to go to Lithuania. Like, it wasn't on my list before of places where I wanted to go. Now I have to go.
I am big there.
You are big. Well, you're a mural. So, I mean, if anything, you defined your status in the world by the amount of murals you have of yourself and how big they are.
Right, yes.
So definitely. The fact that you have one is much more than many and probably most people can say.
Right, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to work my way across the globe.
All right.
Starting in Lithuania. I have a long
way
to
go. It's a pretty random start. Right. I don't exactly – I mean, you're from the United States. I felt like you would have started with the United States. Mm-hmm. Interesting choice on Lithuania, but I'm not against it.
Right. Yes, yes. And trust me, there's a reason for all of this. It's going to work out. One day when my total domination happens, you'll understand it.
Total domination. What are we going to do today, Brain? The same thing we do every night. Try and take over the world.
That's exactly
and
it.
And I don't remember any of those episodes starting with, let's paint a mural.
Oh.
So obviously you didn't take your world takeover plan from Pinky the Brain, but in all fairness, they never actually took over the world.
Right.
So probably a good course of action.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, I don't want to go exactly down their path, but I mean, if I could take part of it, I think I might be okay with it.
I think so too. I mean, they're quite legends when it comes to the world takeover. Like, there's Napoleon, mm-hmm, there's Caesar, there's Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? World domination. Those are really the top three. Mm-hmm. Maybe Darth Vader, but I'm going to go again with Pinky and the Brain above Darth Vader
as far as world takeover. Yeah, because, you know, his Death Star got a little bit damaged. It got all crunched up in that one spot.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, I just think Brain just thought more out of the box than, you know, just a Death Star.
Right.
Kind of. He could have done more.
You could tell how important the Brain was, and not just because he had a big head with that big brain inside, but I think you could also tell because his ears were so big. What that means is that he actually was prepared to listen around and was very observant. He knew what it would take to take over.
I'm going to go with, you know this from experience. But so, but also,
wow.
my preference of Brain over Darth Vader is that Darth Vader sort of put all of his eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Right? Where Brain really went for, let's just give a shot to every single possible plan in existence, no matter how big or how small. He just mm-hmm. put himself out there and he's like, I want to try it. So let's just try all the ideas I can think of. So, you know, that's why I vote for Brain over Darth Vader as far as ranking, you know, people for world. I don't even know how we got on this topic.
I don't know, but I'll tell you that I am going to be on that list of top three. And if there were four, I would overtake Darth Vader on that Mount Rushmore of world dominators when, you know, once my reign.
I want this to happen now.
Once it manages to, you know, proceed from Lithuania and, you know, starts to spread out, once others see it, then they're going to understand.
I really. Now I have this image stuck in my head where you have Napoleon, mm-hmm. Caesar,
right.
Brain,
right.
and Darth Vader. In a Rushmore, Mount Rushmore sort of setting, and I can't possibly think why this has not already happened.
It has. Maybe I'll talk to my friend and see if she and her cousins can do that as the next mural.
Next mural in Lithuania, right? So clearly, it'll get the most amount of visibility there.
That's the plan.
That's an excellent plan. I like it.
Yeah, but, you know, we kind of started on this. It sort of began with, you know, the thought about Bucktober, right? Remember that?
Oh my God, that was like, what, 20 minutes ago?
Right, yeah. But, yeah, so to give a little more explanation about Bucktober, I mean, you know, I'm a big sports fan, and I also, you know, I've only lived in Pennsylvania for, you know, roughly a quarter of my life, but in this time I become a big Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and you know they suffered for, you know, over 20 years and, you know, being a losing team, and the last 2 years they made the playoffs. So the playoffs start in October.
No, they lost last night. Did they not?
It was still the playoffs. Yes, that was a playoff game. But you know the playoffs extend into October, so you know. Last year when they made the playoffs, they started calling their appearance Bucktober. They called themselves the Bucks or the Buckos.
Nope, their actual name is the Pirates.
They are indeed the Pirates.
Hence my confusion at the beginning. Like, I was ready to say Buccaneers, and I was like, that's not right.
No, exactly. But what people need to understand who are listening to this, and I'm sure some people in Pittsburgh actually will be listening to this, and they think they know why people refer to the team as the Bucks.
Okay.
But I, being such a big sports fan, and I'm not really much of a historian outside of sports, but I really like to study the games that I enjoy and the teams that I enjoy. So when I moved here...
My first thought is, uh-oh.
Right, yes. when I first got here and I started going to Pirates games after I moved to Pennsylvania, I thought, I want to learn some more about the history of this franchise because that's the only way I'll truly enjoy them, to understand them.
That's understandable.
Uh-huh. So as I looked it up, here's what I learned. So the team, you know, when they were formed back in the very late 1800s, they were known as the Pittsburgh Pirates back then. But there was an event where something happened. The team was making a road trip. They were going to play a game in Chicago against the Cubs. And they made the trip over to Chicago. And on the train there, they actually went through, the train tracks went through this wooded area that was under some kind of construction along the side of the road. And what had happened along the side was they were doing some deforesting on the side. So, they had like these lumberjacks or something chopping down trees. I don't even know where this happened, somewhere between Pittsburgh and Chicago. But as it happened, there was like this family of deer living in that area.
Of course.
Right. So, and I mean, deer are like big in Pennsylvania. Like people, you know, you're lucky if you've lived in Pennsylvania for 5 years and you've never driven into a deer with
your
car.
That's not possible.
Right, exactly. They're everywhere. So this happens. They find this family of deer. And I mean, you know, these were humanitarians. You know, these were also animal lovers. These guys who were actually, you know, doing the deforesting. And they didn't want to, you know, damage the families. You know, where they live, they didn't want to hurt them. So what they tried to do was they tried to take the living space of these animals and transfer it over to the other side of the tracks where they were not doing any deforesting. So they go to lead them across the tracks. They stop the train, you know, and they, you know, some of the players get out and help. So they're trying to move this family of deer, and there were about, from what I read, like 12 or 13 of these deer. They're trying to herd them across these train tracks. So on the way across, they finally get all the deer over, and then the patriarch of the deer group, you know, the buck, if you will, actually disappeared from the group as they're herding them over. So they count all the deer as they're bringing them over. They get to the other side, they do another head count, and they realize that the buck of the group is missing.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. So they figure, okay, maybe he's gone to hunt for food or something like that. You know, they figure they just lost him. Right, yeah, he wants to feed his family. So after they do a search for something like an hour for him, they finally figure, okay, well, yeah, he's you know, like, he's the chief, you know, he's the king of this group. He knows what he's doing. He will find his way back. So then the players board the train and make their way to Chicago. They get to Chicago hours later. They disembark from the train, and that is when they notice that the buck has been on the train with them the whole time.
Obviously.
So, they...
Interesting, a family of deer took a train to Chicago, but we'll move on from that.
Well, only the one did because all the others were still there, you know, right, on the other side of the tracks. But the buck made it. They ended up adopting for that series. They played 3 games in Chicago that week, and for that series, this buck was kind of like their mascot. So they brought him to the stadium, you know. And I mean, you know, it was like the 1900s, you know, the early 1900s. So, I mean, they weren't worried about security or anything like that.
I thought it was the 1800s.
This team was formed in the 1800s. Okay. But yes, it was the early 1900s when this happened in Chicago. Okay. So they end up, you know, just kind of having this buck hang out around the team's dugout. And, you know, the players, for good luck, patted him on the head as they went to bat, you know. I mean,
as he patiently sat there, because deer are known for loving bright lights.
Right, yes.
Right?
No.
Sitting around.
No. Here's the cool thing about Chicago. They didn't even get lights in their stadium until the 80s. This was Wrigley Field. So they didn't even have lights in their stadium.
So only day games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So, you think I'm making this up, but yes. Now I know where I'm going with this. So, you know, they've got the deer, you know, hanging out at the dugout. You know, they've got, like, fans, you know, like why is this team from Pittsburgh bringing this animal with them? But, you know, nobody really said anything because he didn't interrupt the game. They had a handler there for him, you know. They had, like, an equipment manager or something handling. So then on the way back to Pittsburgh, then they bring the buck back on the train. This time they're better prepared. They have a place to house it on the train. They bring food for it so they can last a few hours. And then they take it back to where it was. And, you know, they brought it to where they had put up its family. So, you know, there were still some deer there. They don't know if it was the same ones. It could have been different deer. They can't tell them apart. All those deer look the same. But, you know, they bring them there. And, I mean, that is the story of how the Pittsburgh Pirates became known as the Bucks.
Isn't Isn't it the buckos?
Well, you know, kind of like people will just say that. They'll say buckos, you know. Because then, you know, once that happened, it sort of evolved into, like, you know, several years later, people just assumed that pirates, buccaneers, which are, you know, sort of the same thing, you know, they just assumed that, you know, it's just, oh, another way of saying pirate. So they're like, oh, our buckos, you know, because it kind of sounds like folksy and everything. But no, in fact, not many people know that history, that it has to do with one lone deer that boarded a train between Pittsburgh and Chicago and went to Wrigley Field along with the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the early 1900s. Look it up, or please don't.
So once again, this reminds me of a situation that is not even close to the story you just told, other than it involves an animal. So one of the people that we work with, his grandpap.
Mm-hmm. That's Pittsburgh.
Yes, is a taxidermist.
Okay.
And so this lady took the bus, and she brought her cat to be stuffed. I'm not sure what it's called, so we're going to say stuffed.
Oh, yeah. Good enough.
Right?
Yeah.
And so she had her cat stuffed so that it looked like it was laying in her lap. Okay. And then when she left, like, she was told that she shouldn't pet it because, right, the hair is going to fall off and not grow back.
Right.
The cat is dead.
It's dead, yeah.
Right? But she missed her cat so much, that's why she got it stuffed. And so she went back on the bus with her cat and just sat there petting it the whole way back.
That's creepy.
It is quite creepy and quite strange. And can you imagine being on a bus and just seeing, like, oh, what a cute cat. Oh, it's dead.
Like, yeah, that's a downer.
So once again, you give a story that is so eloquently stated, and I'm just like, here is this random story that's kind of weird and probably depressing.
Well, fortunately, I'm not totally depressed. I mean, maybe just a little bit now, but not because of that, because I'm thinking, wow, those players totally could have eaten that deer. And they didn't. Well,
why would they have eaten the deer? Like, why? Well, I thought they're mascot. Like, that's, well, yeah, like saying I would eat my dog. I would never eat my dog.
Yeah, but I
ever.
Mean, on the way ever. Back, you know, they were going to drop it off. I mean, you know, that's
no.
A meal. Right? It was the 1900s. People, you know, didn't have enough food. They had to eat.
I'm
wasn't
just
there, like,
gonna
a depression
say,
going on? I don't know.
Deer salami. Is there a depression? No, there wasn't.
Oh, of course.
It was a time of flourishing economics.
That's right.
Like, just crazy.
Yes.
Which reminds me of another story that,
yes,
I think I've already told you about. And I don't remember the time anymore.
Our listeners haven't heard it.
Yeah, that's true. but so I forget the time frame, and now I feel silly. But anyways, the first economic bubble to ever occur was in Amsterdam, in which they purchased tulips. So how could this possibly go wrong? Everyone invested their money in tulips. And so basically people were paying, like, our entire, like, what you and I would make an entire year,
mm-hmm,
on one tulip.
Wow.
And then, of course, within, like, a month and a half, the entire economy crashed. I don't understand why.
Right, yeah.
They purchased flowers.
Right, yeah.
So.
How is not the basis for your system of currency? I don't understand.
Right.
You know, it's flowers. It's, you know. Flora, why would that not be?
Like, that just, it boggles my mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I actually bought a cabbage, it was like a month ago,
mm-hmm,
and I tried to use this cabbage to barter for goods.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, but exactly, but the mechanic would not take it in order to fix my water pump.
I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Obviously, what we should do is get off the dollar. I mean, it's declined anyways.
Exactly.
It's gone down, and it's, you know, it's ranking it and, you know, all of that stuff. So we should,
yeah,
switch to cabbage.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, you know, it's to help people with the transition. It's the same color. It's green.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, so if people,
right,
have trouble grasping it, pull a leaf off the cabbage. This is close enough to a dollar bill, a little bit oddly shaped, but, you know,
right,
this works.
There is a tribe that their currency is rocks.
Okay.
And you actually don't have to move the rock or anything. It's just ownership of that rock.
Wow.
And based off of, and it's not necessarily the size of the rock,
okay,
it's the value of the rock. So, like, let's say that I trade my rock for a pencil, then,
yes,
it would have, that rock has a little value. But,
mm-hmm,
then, like, you now have that rock, and now you trade that rock for a house, now that rock has increased in value.
Wow.
Right? So imagine that. Like, that's pretty weird. Also, if you find a rock and you're like, man, this is an awesome rock and nobody has claimed it, you can just be like, this is my rock.
Right.
And now you have some sort of value.
So, I'm certainly not an economist, and
I'm not either.
I may be missing something fundamental here, but here's the thing that I'm thinking. So, if I were in that position, say that I had some highly desired good that I wanted to, sell off to somebody, and I'm not talking
about your body,
right? Yes, but I'm not talking about my body this time. I was just about to say that. I know. Yes, something else.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Everybody knew where I was going with that. But say I had something like a house, like you said,
right? So you do. So
yes, that's true. So you have this rock that's being traded for all these things. So I'll take exactly your example.
Right.
You have this rock that's being traded for a pencil,
right?
And then it now has the value of a pencil.
Right.
So then somebody takes that same rock and maybe trades it for a house.
Right.
The rock now has the value of a house.
Right.
So what I would do is I would just take all of the things that I had. It's so easy to trade up to things because,
right.
You can just take all the little things you have, trade them for rocks, and then they all just suddenly get that value. So it's not a pre-stated value.
You just have rocks.
I know, but now you can say,
I have all these rocks.
Right? I have all these rocks. These rocks are worth a house and 10 pencils. This one's worth a cabbage, I got this other one that's actually worth a small child. I got all these rocks worth everything,
With a small child? You traded your child
Well, it gives the rock greater value.
So you're rich, but have absolutely nothing.
That's right. But see, you can take all of that. Say we have the same technology that we have now. Imagine the world with the same things in it that we have now, but the currency is rocks. That appreciate in this form. So then you can take all these things, and eventually you can say, I'm going to buy that jet plane with these 2,000 rocks that I've collected from selling pencils and houses and small children.
Right, so technically you could do that right now with your own money. You could sell everything you owned.
I guess.
And you could be I'm going to buy a jet plane.
I know, but the problem that I have with that is, if I sell somebody something for, a dollar, or say, or rather somebody sells me something for a dollar, I'll put it that way. So say that, pretend I work at McDonald's. And I'm pocketing – I don't anymore. No, I quit there about 2 hours ago. But say I'm working at McDonald's and, I'm feeling very roguelike that day, and I'm pocketing the money that people give me instead of putting it in the register. So somebody comes in
and
says –
That's called crime.
Oh, is that the – that's what that meant.
Theft.
Oh, I didn't
Thievery.
Know that. I thought my mother was saying something else when she warned me about that. But say somebody comes in and they want a four-piece chicken McNugget order, which at least last time I asked for one at McDonald's, it cost a dollar. So they give me a dollar. I give them four McNuggets. I pocket the money. If I just go someplace else with that dollar and I would have a hard time giving that dollar to somebody and saying, give me a house or even, give me, I don't know, something even cheaper than a house. Give me a computer for this dollar. Nobody's going to do it.
Right, but for the rock, you could sell that, right?
That's right.
That's more about the art of salesmanship than the value of the dollar.
Because
I agree, but then people like me would be poor because I'd be like, "Dude, give me your stuff right now, or else nothing." Because I'm very tiny, so nothing's gonna happen.
Right, that is true. Yes,
I'm a horrible salesperson, so I would get nowhere. So you people like you who talk about absolutely nothing and convince people to sell you their worn shoes. Just they'll buy their own shoes that they're wearing from you because you told them it was a good idea.
Yes.
You would be filthy rich. I would be broke poor.
Yes. For the record, everybody, in case you didn't know, Jenny knows I did once sell my body for a rock. So, and trust me, it was an actual rock. If you find – it wasn't crack rocks or anything. I'm not into that. But
are you sure?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was just talcum powder. I mean, I just know that I threw it against the wall and shattered it into a bunch of powdery white pieces. But I promise it was just simply, it was talcum powder. I'm sure of it.
All right.
Okay,
Clearly, you're a reliable source.
Definitely, yes. As I am eating this deer salami. Yes.
It's excellent.
I've never had deer salami. I've eaten deer, but not deer salami.
So if they make it again this year, I'll invite you to the Christmas for our group.
Oh, okay. Wow. So somebody actually had deer salami at work.
Yeah, the same one with the grandpap.
Yeah, of course. Of course, yes.
Everyone was like, what are you bringing in? Oh, I'm bringing cheese and crackers. Oh, I'm bringing chicken. Oh, I'm bringing in deer salami. Freshly shot.
Ah, yes. That probably came from the one part of the deer nobody would want to see stuffed.
I didn't ask. I genuinely did not ask.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah. So what I want to know, you know, with that thought in mind, and now I'm going to pull one of your moves and completely change the subject.
All right.
All right, check this out. So I want you to tell everybody listening to this, all 400,000 of our listeners were really popular.
Or one.
Right, yes. Yeah, all 400,000 or one and one. For all 400,000 listeners, what you did this past weekend.
All right, so Cyril is very excited about this, but
I still am. I've seen the pictures.
So this weekend, we went, me and some friends went to a dive bar that once a month they turn into a roller skating rink.
Roller skating? Are you believing this?
Roller skating while drinking. So how could this possibly go wrong? And let me tell you, it didn't. It was quite hilarious.
Wow.
So it was also 50s themed. So there was, it was really funny because it was quite dark. Just imagine it's a dive bar.
Right.
And so there's people that were actually there to actually skate. And there was two guys who I think they go every day, even when it's not a dive, like even when they're not supposed to be skating, they're just like, oh, we'll just skate here anyway.
Wow. Okay.
They were expert pro level. Yeah. I think at some point the bartenders were even giving them the glass bottles because they're like, guys would be fine. Okay. But there were several people that had no idea what they were doing, and they tried to dance, and then they would fall on the floor, and their beer would go all over the place.
Oh, that's terrible.
And so then you're like trying to dodge them, and then somebody would come out with a little flashlight and like try and find
the puddle, yeah.
They had to find the puddle, and then they would like throw rags on the floor. Everyone's trying to dodge them.
Oh, jeez.
It's quite hilarious. And and there seemed to be the trend that the more dressed in theme you were, the worse you were at skating. Like, alcohol or not, I think most of the people who were dressed in full 50s attire were actually not drinking at all. And they fell so often. I think they just wanted to get in the get-up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. So if you ever do find an event, I don't. Oh, I know the bar starts with a B, but I'm so bad at these things. But it was a lot of fun, and I do recommend going at least once just to see. I know they have a different theme every month about what they – like what is the dress up for the theme, but I know that they do skating in a dive bar. So it's not a huge skating rink. It's probably like the size of my living room, which I live in a tiny apartment. So
yes, yes. I mean, I am only 2.5 feet tall, and my head is scratching against the ceiling right now. That's how small this is. Oh, wait, I'm inside a box. I'm sorry. Okay. We're good now. And if you listen to our last episode, no, there's nobody in the box with me. Okay. I'm there by myself. What I was thinking with that is, you know, we can put up on the Twitter feed.
Oh, man, that's
about
right.
The name of the dive bar so everybody can look it up and see where this happens. So, yes, Jenny, tell us what the Twitter account is.
So it's actually at @PencilsDownPod. And that's because podcast was too many characters, and somebody already took down Pencils Down, but it was actually for an academic thing. So if you're in middle school and you want to tweet about math questions, do Pencils Down. If you want to hear about complete nonsense and learn really weird fun facts, you can do at Pencils Down Pod. And we also actually have a website, and on the website you'll have the ability to listen to this podcast, and I'll also include links about information that we've talked about here that's actually factually true, so that you can learn more information about it.
Yes, and you're going to learn all about the Pittsburgh Pirates from what happens there. Don't worry, I will not write the informational article about the Pittsburgh Pirates that will be linked on the webpage.
Yeah, Cyril is never a source for that part. I do that part, so you don't have to worry. It's actually factually true at that point.
Right, that's very true. So, yeah, I am terrible at roller skating. You know, it's something that I have never done at any length. I tried twice. I fell down within 5 seconds, and then I thought, well, this must be what being drunk feels like. I think I'm just going to go the faster route and drink, because that tends to not leave bruises on my behind. So I'm not going to do the skating. And you know, if I want that experience, I'll just drink heavily. Fortunately, I haven't reached that point yet where I've been a heavy drinker. But you know, just something to keep in mind that I would choose drinking over skating.
Yeah, I was very proud of myself. I only fell down twice. And one of the times somebody pushed me because he was trying not to fall. And so he pushed me. I was like, dude.
Oh, wow.
Dude. And the other time I was standing perfectly still and I fell. So I have no idea what happened.
Wow, yeah.
And I wasn't drunk, so don't go for that one.
Yeah. What I think I'm going to say is that, you know, on the webpage, you know, when we link this episode of the show,
right,
alongside it, I think we should put a picture of me on the unicycle up because...
Oh, that was excellent.
Yeah,
yes.
Like... Several months ago, you know, we went to an event that was like, you know,
at the Carnegie Science Center.
That's correct. Yes, it was called Circus Science.
Right.
So, you know, it was a chance to learn about all kinds of different things, the science of all kinds of things that happened at the circus. And they gave free, brief unicycle lessons.
Right.
So I'd never been on a unicycle before. Honestly, I can't even ride a bicycle. And yet I decided to go for this unicycle.
The people who had, like myself included, did not do the unicycle. I know how to ride a bike. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do the unicycle. But Zero was like, I've never ridden a bike. You know what I should do? Learn to ride.
Exactly. I mean, four wheels has always been my minimum.
Right.
Yeah, and yet I decided to get on the one-wheeled item with a seat. And, yeah, the instructor who was leading me through this, what he learned, I learned the basics of the mechanics of riding a unicycle. I didn't get good at it in those 10 minutes, but I at least learned what you're supposed to do. What he learned was that a man of my small size really can grip his arm extremely hard as I'm trying not to fall. I think I nearly ripped half the skin off his arm with a death grip that I had on this poor man's forearm. So I don't think he's been back to Pittsburgh since, yeah.
I think he lives in Pittsburgh, so I think he's just been avoiding you.
Either that or he moved. I don't know.
One of the above.
Right, yes. We'll see about that. Yeah.
All right. So it looks like we are out of time for this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. As Cyril said, try to check us out on Twitter at @PencilsDownPod. Or check out our website, which is actually pencilsdown.com. So don't know how we snagged that one.
Right.
Just, you know, boo you. Math learning middle schoolers.
Yeah. Bite me, math.
All right. And we hope to see you, or, you know, hope you guys listen to us all next week.
You got it. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.